Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Everybody's in sleepy summer mode, right? It's like another rainy weekend. I think they said that we've had 12 rainy weekends so far in a row. It seems to be every year or every the last few weeks. So I'm glad you decided to come with us here to Table Life Church today. My name's Chris. I'm the pastor here at Table Life. And if it's your first time with us, first time in a long time, whatever that may be, just a big welcome to you and happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. And so I thought it would be appropriate to start out with some of my favorite dad jokes. Is that okay? Can we do that? Can we just have a little fun in church? Right? Just some favorite dad jokes. If you don't know what a dad joke is, you will in about a minute. So how about this? A son asks his dad, he says, "Dad, can you please explain to me what a solar eclipse is?" And the dad says, "No, son." Okay, thank you for you. Yeah, that was like hilarious, right? There's you guys online. You can laugh too. Okay, how does NASA organize a party? They plan it, yes! That's great. That's fantastic. Okay. What's orange and sounds like a parrot? A carrot. That's not good. Okay. How about this? Moving on. What did the blanket say when it fell off the bed? Holy sheet. Sheet. We S-H-E-E-T. Pastor did not say a bad word up here. Okay. What has five toes but is not your foot? My foot. Ben liked that one. Okay, and last but not least, why do dads take an extra pair of socks when they play golf? In case they get a hole in one. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so you can use those today, share them with your friends and your family, and enjoy all that. So anyway, we are starting a new series today called Worth Sharing. We're going to be talking the next few weeks about how faith is, Jesus is, Table Life Church is worth sharing. And I thought it'd be important today to kind of start off with the mission of Table Life Church. And those of you guys that are new-ish with us, you may have not heard this before, or it's on our website, it's like on our media pages and stuff like that. But the mission of Table Life Church is to learn the way of Jesus together as we invite others to join us at his table. So you see like the table connection, right? Can we say that together? Is that cool with you guys? Okay, let's say this together. So one, two, three. To learn the way of Jesus together as we invite others to join us at his table. And we're going to be talking about in this series the power of invitation. Power of invitation, because especially when it comes to church, invitation is something that usually we just kind of assume happens when you're a part of a church. Or to the other end of things, that we think that we need to scare people into doing in order to follow Jesus or come to church. And it's interesting, the history of most churches, including this one, is one of invitation. That back in the late 30s, 40s, that this church was formed from a community of people in New Cumberland, Pennsylvania, who invited others to share in the hope of Jesus, to gather together as a church community. And the thing is, when a church, a local church, starts out just like that, as churches start out, you kind of depend on inviting others or else you won't exist. I mean, you need a gathering in order to be an ecclesia, a gathering, a church of people. And so the history and the story of most churches is exactly that, is that there's like a group of people that forms and starts gathering and meeting, and then they invite their friends, and kind of like depending on this building and this, and just growth in that aspect. And as a church grows, things get more complicated or more busy, right? That a church starts to develop ministries, like children's ministry or youth ministry or a Sunday school. They start having events and relationships. And what happens is that as you kind of reach a little bit over 50 people, the idea of invitation becomes less urgent. Because it's like, I already met my friends, right? Like, I met new people. I'm connected here. I'm a part of this. Like, I came to faith. I know Jesus now. Maybe my family knows Jesus now. What are all those things? And there's kind of an increasing sense that happens that we kind of begin to think that people will find it and others can invite them to do so. But I'm happy here. And I'm happy, I know Jesus. I have a faith in Jesus. Like, I'm a part of a community. Like, you know, like, I found what I need. And another part of that is we don't want to be weird, right? We don't want to be weird. So invitation takes a back seat to our behaviors. And yet, it's interesting because invitation, the power of invitation for people to be a part of a church, for people to know Jesus, is not only foundational to our mission as a church, like we said, as we invite others to join us at his table, but it's also foundational in what it means to actually follow Jesus. So having a relationship with Jesus requires and has a part of it that's invitational. After all, one of my favorite verses in Matthew chapter 5 says this, that Jesus says these words. He says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And that's all well and good, right? Like, Jesus has some really good things to say. That sharing, inviting, is a core part of our faith if we're following Jesus. But being actually willing to talk about our faith is often a different story. That, you know, I imagine for a lot of us sitting in this room, listening online, it's something that makes us really uncomfortable. It raises lots of questions. We've seen it done very, very poorly, maybe to us. We've been hurt by it, all these kinds of things. And so that's why we're beginning this series today called Worth Sharing. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to have a conversation about this idea of what it means to share our faith. And I want to answer some questions that I know I've asked before, maybe you're asking right now, things like, why do we have to share? What is it that we're actually supposed to share? How do you share that's not weird and going to freak people out? And with who, right? And so we're going to explore those things over the next few weeks. But today we're going to start with the question, why? Because if we don't start with why, none of it else really makes sense. Why? You know, because a lot of times, many of us don't see sharing as something that we want to do or that we should do, especially when it comes to faith. Even those who are open to sharing or talking about our faith, you know, I don't know about you, but you kind of get caught up in this kind of mental calculation, right? Like maybe you're talking to somebody, a good friend, a work associate, whoever it is, and like an opportunity opens up to talk about your church, to talk about something about God, whatever it is. But then all of a sudden in your mind, as this kind of opportunity opens up, you kind of calculate this little risk thing, right? This little risk that goes, you're like, I know this is I can talk about this, I can share what I think or what I feel, but on the flip side, I could look really weird, it can get awkward, I could be unwelcome, I could be rejected. I don't want to risk the relationship or risk the moment. And so what do? A lot of times, the not saying anything idea wins out just to kind of remain safe. That even if the door is like wide open and somebody's like, well, you know, I've been thinking about this God thing and this Jesus thing and I've been exploring, like, what do you think about that? Like, door, like, wide open. And then we kind of go, like, I don't know about that. Well, you know, it's all kind of a matter of opinion, whatever. You know, we just kind of, like, brush it off and we want to stay in that safe part. Yet talking about faith with others is something that the early church practiced a lot. And Jesus asked his followers to do, but why? Why? Why does Jesus ask us to share our faith? Well, I'm going to look at three reasons here. The first is that people need good news. We see this in Scripture. People need good news. If you're following along, you've got sermon notes. If you're a note taker, you can write this down. But the number one reason why Jesus asks us to share our faith is that people need good news. The world needs good news, friends. You know, listen to this. When Jesus started his public ministry, this is what happened. Mark tells us this. After John the Baptist, was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's what? Good news. Not like you're going to hell in a handbasket, like you're all this, like, good news, saying, now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news. This is great stuff, friends. I mean, the word gospel itself, you hear the word gospel, it actually means good news. Of course, it sounds churchy and all, but it means good news. And I think that these verses from Mark, you know, kind of put in modern day language, if you will, I think says something to this tune. Jesus is saying, hey, it's time. God is here. Things can change. You can change. You can trust there are good things, better things in store for you, and there's a bigger story you're invited to be a part of. Think about it. How many people need to hear that? Do you need to hear that? Someone in your family need to hear that. You know, now is the time. God is present. God is here. Real change is possible in your hearts and in your life and in the world. That this is not about religion. This is not about doctrine or rules or a calendar item or something that's going to make you feel guilty or judged. Friends, this is what we do to share. This is really good news. God is here. Things can look different. There's so many people that need that and need that hope. I mean, you think about the forms that good news can take, and maybe this is part of your story. You know, good news might look a little shade different for each of us. Some of us need guidance in the midst of disorientation. Well, guess what? God does that for us through Jesus. Some of us need healing or belonging or purpose or answers or justice or forgiveness. Some of us need a new start, need hope, need a different path. Some of us need to be free of fearing death. And Jesus offers all of that, whatever it is. At the heart of an invitation is always a deep concern and deep care for people. People who are created in the image of God and loved by God. People that need to know that God is here and there are good and better things that are in store for them. See, Jesus offers good news to people. That's the number one thing. That's why we share it, because it's good. It's good news. It makes faith worth the sharing. But let's move on to the second piece here. The second reason is that people need good news, but don't know where to find it. Truthfully, people need good news, but don't know where to find it. Jesus has good news, and something has to connect those two things, needs to connect us to that good news. And many of us believe something like this. Like, we assume that people know what church is all about. We assume that there's 150 churches in a whatever mile radius from here, right? That if they're interested in finding out about God, if they're interested, then they're just going to come. And we think that way, but did you know that that's not actually true? It's not actually true. The last place people will go is to show up on a Sunday morning in church. Very last place. Because why? Some people, believe it or not, don't know what church is. They've only heard really awful things about it. They see that church is not, and what their perception is, they don't believe that church is a place of good news. They don't actually know what Jesus represents. The Apostle Paul, he says it like this. He says, like, you can't just assume that people are going to know who Jesus is, what he's about, what this community is about. He says it like this in Romans chapter 10. He says, all who call on the Lord's name will be saved. So how can they call on someone they don't have faith in? And how can they have faith in someone they haven't heard of? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear what someone's sharing, right? How can they preach unless they're sent? And as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the good news. When we share, Paul is saying here, then you got beautiful feet, right? So I don't know, maybe you got ugly feet. Well, now you're being told you got beautiful feet when you share the good news of Jesus and when you walk in that. But people need goodness but don't know where to find it. So often we assume, right? We assume, oh, well, people just show up. People just ask. People just read a book. And that's not actually true. Most people do not just wander into church. Most people do not just open up a Bible and say, I'm going to start reading this and find this out. Paul's making a simple argument. Jesus offers good news, that he offers healing and forgiveness and being part of a bigger story. But how will folks know that? How will they know the truth, the core of that, unless there's somebody to tell them or to invite them to come and see, to experience that? So I want to do a little experiment here. So do something for me. Just with a show of hands, how many of you guys are here because someone told you about our church or invited you? Just raise of hands. At some point, I'm not saying like maybe it was 10 years, like a show of hands. Okay, that's great. Like how many of you have come to faith, and whether that's like as a child or as an adult or ever, because of someone that God put in your path? Just raise your hand. Look at this. Somebody took a risk. Somebody maybe took you to church, your grandparent, whoever that was, like did that thing. People could need good news and you didn't know where to find it. The amazing power of that. I think about my own story, about how I grew up in the Catholic tradition and kind of wavered from, you know, turned away from that in my 20s, and finally was in a period of my life that I was searching and open to God and trying to figure out my purpose. And would you believe it that I was working at an environmental research facility, working a full-time job, doing research. And it was there that somebody started a small group at that lab. And guess who invited me? The lady who started it. She said, Chris, do you want to come? Do you want to come? It's just an hour. We're going to meet. And the thing is, I didn't even know what that was, but I'm so grateful that I decided to accept that invitation. But I just kind of think about that. I'm like, what happened? What would have happened hadn't she extended that invitation? Probably would have never known about the group. Like maybe later on, it would have taken me a little bit longer to come to a place that I would find Jesus again and find church again. Like all those things, you know, that someone has to be willing to share, to tell. That's the power of it. People need good news, but usually don't know where to find it. Or they're looking at all kinds of other areas, right? Looking to, like, they're going from one relationship to another. They're thinking that's going to be the good news, right? They're looking to, like, drugs and alcohol. Like, they're turning to different things. They're turning to pornography. They're turning to, like, all these other things that I'm, like, trying to find an escape and try to feel better about myself. And it always fails. We're searching. We're searching. So why not invite? That's why people don't know. They don't know where to find it. People need good news, but don't know where to find it. But then the third thing, and this is the highlight, Jesus needs your voice. Jesus needs your voice. Well, strictly speaking, Jesus really doesn't need us, right? He could do a lot of things without us, but he chooses to partner with us. He wants our help. See, there's a passage in Matthew where Jesus is with his disciples, and this is a time when, like, he's totally overwhelmed with people's needs. People are coming at him left and right saying, Jesus, can you help me with this? Can you do this? Can you heal this? And so Matthew tells us this in Matthew chapter 9. He says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Yeah, I love this. Doesn't this give a very human picture of Jesus? Like, his heart breaks. He has compassion. And then he's just downright overwhelmed. I mean, there's just so many things to do, so many people. And Jesus wants help. He's asking for help. And yet so few want to help Jesus with the mission. You know, many want to be consumers, but not offer that to others. See, Jesus asks for your help, to use your unique voice, your unique background. Jesus asks for that. And I think that's why Jesus asks for our help on purpose. You know, that he needs our voice. He needs your voice. He needs our voice as Table Life Church. Because, I mean, you and I know this. Think about the things right now that the world knows about Jesus and church and faith. Think about that. What people's impressions are. Maybe you have friends or neighbors that are like, nope, not for me because of many specific things, right? There are many things about the world knows about Jesus and church and faith, and they're not right. They're not right. They're impressions of things and people. And if you don't believe me, then just go online. Go to Reddit. You can go to Reddit. There are lots and lots of things. This is just my search of people who have had experiences of Christians and faith and God and Jesus that are very, very whacked and crazy, that are not right. So I want to read to you a couple of them under one of these headlines. I think that was the most delusional thing a Christian has ever said to me or I've ever heard. One of the comments was, someone said, I went to a church, or someone on there said, I went to a church and the pastor said that 9/11 and all the hurricanes in recent time were God's condemnation of people in those places. Okay. Another one said, they told me to give $1,000 to this person's ministry and I will receive 7 blessings from God. Okay. These are people's experiences. Someone said, the church told me to pay to get my dead grandmother out of purgatory. Okay, this person heard a Christian say, we should euthanize people with dementia so they can be with Jesus and reduce healthcare costs. It's a Christian saying that. A Christian told a mother that your son has autism because you must have had sin in your life. Someone else's experience said, someone told them this, they said, God could never use a blank like you. Someone else's experience said, that they heard a Christian say, we should burn anyone alive who attends a pride parade. Maybe you've heard one of these. Maybe you've heard something else. And dare I say, any of the things that I just said do not represent Jesus. None of them. None of them. But friends, the problem is, Jesus needs other voices than that. They're very loud. They're very like, Jesus needs our help. There's so many loud and strong voices that spout off one version of church and a hateful, disgusting version of Jesus and who he is, and it's so distorted. And there's so many voices that talk about a church and a God who's judgmental and partisan and rejecting and angry and condemning and wants uniformity among us. But some people only hear those voices. They're the only ones that they hear. And so too few people know that there's another version of church. And that there's another version of Jesus, the real Jesus, who says these words. He says, I did not come to condemn you, but to save you. That's the Jesus who welcomes in sinners and the outcasts and the foreigner and the poor. Who is not affiliated with any political party. Who says that Christians will be known by what? Our love. Not our hate, but our love. A Jesus who offers forgiveness and who engages the world with openness and curiosity and who meets people where they are. But friends, that kind of Jesus I just described, the true Jesus from Scripture, is underrepresented in our world. The voices that are online, the voices that represent those comments that I just said are very, very loud. And that's why Jesus needs you. Jesus needs you to tell them and to show them in your life that it's very different than those voices. And there are particular people that you and I and us, there are particular people that only you can reach, that only you can show the way that you live. The only people you can show that, no, that's not the Jesus that I believe in or the Jesus that I follow. That's not the church. Our church doesn't preach that or teach that. You know, that it's not a billboard or a poster. It's not me, but it's you and those relationships. Jesus needs your voice to be the different one. And so, friends, that's why we talk about faith. That's why we share our faith. That's why we offer an invitation. Because people need good news, but they don't automatically know where to find it. But Jesus needs your voice. He needs your voice in that. In the midst of a culture where there's so many distorted views of who Jesus is and what he represents. And that's why your faith is worth sharing. It's worth sharing. And so that you might think, well, I don't know what to say or whatever. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, by the way. But we're just unpacking the why here. And if there's nothing else, then to understand that there is good news and it's worth sharing and you have a role in that. To be different. Who knows? Maybe you will be part of that story when somebody's baptized in the future. Maybe you will be part of that story when somebody decades from now raises their hands and says, well, did somebody invite you at some point? And they raise their hands because of you. Maybe it's your story and your faith and your desire to share and to take that step and to invite. And so I want to end today by listening to Jesus. I want to go back to that passage in Matthew, which says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, asked the Lord of the harvest, therefore to send out workers into his harvest field. And that's my prayer for us here at Table Life Church, that we would be a part of that good news and that story, that we would not just be consumers of religious goods and services, but that we would be people who would not hold our faith as just something I personally do and believe in on Sunday and I hold it private, but that we would begin to see the impact we can make by our lives and how we share. And as Paul said, how blessed are the ones who are willing to share and to live out the good news. And today I want us to pray for that, that you might be moved towards that, to be a different voice, to be a different way of acting and living, to move towards that. And that collectively, Table Life would be a place, a people that would be known for the way that we love. Let's pray.